If you didn't quite get it, the theme of that song is that the need to surrender to God, surrender to Jesus entirely. There is a war going on, you know, and I think too often we surrender to Satan rather than surrender to God. If we surrender to God, we'd find victory in our lives over Satan and over so many of the temptations and the difficulties and struggles that we face. And maybe that's a segue into the last lesson of this series that I've been doing from Colossians. We'll be looking at chapter 4, actually a very short section in chapter 4. Paul's about to bring his letter to a close. All that's going to be remaining after what we look at today are some personal salutations, some greetings. He spent 3 chapters reminding them of who Jesus is, that he's the creator and controller of the universe. He is the leader of the church, the head of the church, and he is to be the Lord of their lives. Also reminding them who they are in Christ, that they are saved, that they are redeemed, that they are people who are made alive, made new, and they're to live that way. They're supposed to be living not their own dreams, their own pursuits, but living the dream that God has for them. We talked some last week about the need to get our hearts and minds set on these truths, on these realities. And this section, Colossians 4, 2 through 6, may give us a more practical idea how we need to do that. And I'm merely calling it complete devotion. If you open your Bibles there, and we'll look at verse 4 through 6, just a short section. Actually, verse 2 through 6. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. There are at least 3 issues in this short section that I think are worth addressing, but for the purpose of simplification, they all might be rolled into one main theme. At first glance, it might seem that this word devoted or devote only applies to prayer. We're going to talk about that, but I see that it is connected to this whole section. For in order for us to live the dream, it's going to take complete devotion. It's going to take us being devoted, again, focused upon what matters. I'm afraid that in our society, and even in our church society and culture, when we think about devotion, we think about devotionals, we think about something short, something that's not too deep, just on the surface. But I can't imagine us having deep faith and really being able to live out the lives that God wants us to if we're going to be shallow in any area of our walk with Him. According to Kittle's Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, the Greek word that's rendered here devoted means to adhere, to be constant, to be steadfastly attentive, to give a continuous, unfailing care, to persevere and not to faint, to show oneself courageous, in constant readiness. Now, does that sound like a once-in-a-while thing? Does that sound like something that's watered down, a brief interlude in our relationship with God in Christ? No, it's going to take time. It's going to take focus, as we talked about last week. It's going to take energy to be devoted. And if you think about it, if I were to say to you, I know someone who's a very devoted husband or a devoted wife or a devoted mother or father, devoted child, someone who's devoted to anything, would you say that's someone who gives, 5 minutes a day or an hour a week? to that relationship or to that. No, you wouldn't, would you? To be devoted is to be really seriously dedicated to something and have a heart for it and a life that follows. Again, the most obvious thing in the text is to be devoted to prayer. Last Sunday night, I shared in our Care and Share group how my dad's mother was a woman who was devoted to prayer. I didn't understand it as a young boy. Really, I hadn't even become acquainted yet with Christ. I really hadn't. So I thought it was really strange when she would pray for hours on end. I didn't know what she was doing at first, because her bedroom was her prayer closet. She'd rise early in the morning and stay there a lot longer than you might expect. She'd go in early in the evening, an hour before bedtime or longer. And when there was someone who had a crisis in her life, someone who was going through a really difficult time, one of her kids, one of her friends, one of the people at her church, she'd go in and spend hours. And I would ask Mom, what's the matter with Grandma? Is she okay? Yeah, she's okay. Well, what's she doing in there all this time? She's praying. Paul, what's she praying about? Stuff. All kinds of stuff. She'd pray kneeling. I saw a few times her door be open just a crack. She was kneeling at her bedside. Prostrate on the floor. I thought she'd passed out. I really got concerned for her. She was praying. Again, I thought that was so weird when I was a kid. I grew to appreciate it and understand it more, but I still, you know what, I think it's weird today, because what I mean by that is you don't see a lot. It seems like this idea of praying with devotion without ceasing is almost a lost art. We should be devoted to prayer, he says. If we want to live this dream, we need to be devoted to prayer. What kind of prayer should we be devoted to? Prayers for health and wealth? Peace and prosperity? Pray for our nation, National Day of Prayer last Thursday, right? Pray about our relationships. All of those things would be good and are important. Matter of fact, again, I heard the other day some encouraging news. I've been telling couples this for a long time, but it was good to get some more confirmation. It was on a Focus on the Family interview, where an author of a new book about prayer and about the importance of prayer and family was sharing these statistics. It said that among those couples, and they stress this, who are truly devoted to prayer, the divorce rate is only 1 in 1,019. Now, we continue to hear, right, that the divorce rate or the failed families and relationships and the dysfunction families is just as bad in the church as it is out there. Often that's the case. But again, it's not about coming to church, is it? It's about having a relationship with Christ. And I wonder if one of the factors that's missing so much is people aren't devoted enough to prayer. I have seen God do incredible things when people are devoted to prayer. I have seen marriages saved when couples pray together. I've seen them improve. I've seen relationships salvaged when people are devoted to prayer. There's a little plaque that's on the shelf in our bathroom next to where my cologne and stuff is, and it just says prayer changes things. I believe that's true, but I think even more importantly, prayer changes us. It changes us. So many times we want to change the things. And God's wanting us to draw close to Him in this relationship, pour out our hearts. And we are changed. We are changed. So vitally important. And yes, things will change when we change. Circumstances change when we change. I've seen the hand of God move when people are truly rooted in prayer. Again, having said this, all as important as that stuff is, Paul's not specifically addressing prayers for the things we so often pray for. Our health, our jobs, our comfort, our our well-being, even for the well-being of others. We so often pray for those physical things, those temporary things, those things that matter to us, but are they the things that matter most to God? So much, I think we have things turned around. Paul, in the context, is saying that we should pray as he prayed. We should be devoted to prayer as he was devoted to prayer. About what? To pray for spiritual wisdom and insight, for knowledge and revelation that will enable us to live lives the way God calls us to. That will enable us to be the people that God wants us to. How many times are we devoted in prayer about those things? Is that high on our list? That God, just help me to be the person you want me to be. Help me, God, to live the dream. Help me to do and be who you want me to be and to do what you want me to do. Give me that, God. Whatever it is, give me the strength. Give me the ability. Give me the insight. Give me the revelation. Give me the knowledge so that I can do that and I can be that. As Paul said in the Colossian letter, the more we understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us, the more we'll understand who we are and what he has in store for us. Such knowledge is empowering. There's no limit to what a church devoted to prayer can accomplish. I believe that. Do you believe that? Then why is it that we're not more devoted to prayer if we believe that? The early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and to prayer, it says. Paul stresses that they should not just pray for themselves, but for an open door for the gospel. Do you think it would be good for us to be more earnestly praying for opportunities to share the good news ourselves? And praying for God to open doors for our leaders? Some scholars, maybe it's a discussion more than a debate, think maybe this idea of opening the door Paul was talking about was opening the door to the prison he was in so that he could go and share the gospel more openly and freely than he was able to at the moment. But if you read the Philippian letter, you'll find that he was finding open doors in prison. He was sharing the gospel with the guards. He had a captive audience. So I'm not so sure that's the issue. I think so often we're looking for some miracle to happen out there. That's the door we're asking for when we just say, God, open the door to my heart to receive the word, the knowledge, the goodness of your good news and your love for me. And then, God, leave it open so it'll flow out. And yes, open the doors of some hearts of some people to listen. Open the doors of some hearts that people will hear. Yes, God. But you know, before their doors are open, mine's got to be open. Let's fervently pray. Let's be devoted to pray for God to inspire us to share the good news and invite others to join us on the journey, to live the life. May God give us the courage to share, to live the life, and to invite others to live the life. Many were attending a luncheon at the clock tower last Thursday, National Day of Prayer. I've often joined them. I have been the benefactor of tickets in past years where someone has said, you know what, here, come and join us. It's been a wonderful, glorious time. You hear great messages about prayer. We talk about prayer. We sing about prayer. We even pray about prayer. It's a good thing. Good thing. But as the Lord would have it, this year I was with some folks from Calvary who were prayerfully serving a luncheon instead of sitting down and eating one at Carpenter's Place. Both are noble things. Both are necessary things. We need to be devoted to prayer. But we need to be devoted to prayer that's not just talking about it or studying about it or preaching about it. We need to be doing more than praying in our collective little groups that things will get better. We have to do what we can to make things better And that brings us to the next point. We need to be fully devoted to godly behavior. Paul writes in our text, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Okay, and the door's open. Now what? What am I going to do about that? What am I going to do with that open door? What am I going to do with that opportunity? What am I going to do? We're talking about follow through, about getting up off our knees and walking as Jesus walked. Sometimes we can be so much like Jesus in church and so much like the world in the world. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. An untransformed life can scream so loud at times that no one can hear the gospel we preach. If we don't behave any differently than the world, then where's the attraction? We're called to holiness. We're saved to follow Jesus in a world that doesn't. We're to be distinct and different. It's a narrow road, yes, but lives are full of love to for God and others on this road. Lives are lived in service to God and man. That's following Jesus. Peter said that he left us an example so that we can follow in his steps. John said, 1 John 2:8, that those who live in a relationship with Jesus must walk as Jesus did. Not an option. Must. I posed the question at our leadership retreat the other week. If we aren't making a difference, then what difference do we make? As a church, as individuals. If we're not making a difference, then what difference do we make? That's why a prayer of faith needs to be a prayer of action. James said it's not enough to say, be warm and fed, not lift a finger to help. Such faith, he says, is futile. It's dead. Yeah, be devoted to prayer, but be devoted to action too. To be living the life. The last thing is to be devoted to gracious speech. Oh, wow. The King James Version sometimes uses the word that we find in the NIV, conversation, for a complete lifestyle. But in this instance, where Paul says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone, he is talking about primarily verbal communication. He's talking about the words that come out of our mouth. I wish I could say I have always seasoned my conversation with grace. Wow. I can't say that because I haven't. So often our conversation is seasoned and peppered with everything else but grace. And if our conversation is seasoned and peppered with everything but grace, then how do you make the transition to tell somebody about God's grace? Not easy. Not easy. Several of us were talking last week about how we tend to make excuses for our kids when they're cranky. Anybody ever do that? You know, they must be tired, or they're just not feeling well, right? Or they wouldn't be like, they're not usually like this. We'll say, there's something wrong. They're not feeling well. We excuse them because, well, they just aren't mature enough yet to control their feelings. For Christians, however, especially those who've been following Jesus for any length of time, is there really any excuse for not having our speech seasoned with grace? Is there ever an excuse for hateful or hurtful speech? Well, I'm tired. I hear God saying, get some rest. and refrain from taking out your frustration on all the rest. Well, I'm feeling sad. Well, I hear God saying, ask others to pray for you and comfort you. Don't grieve like you have no hope. Well, I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I hear God saying, pray and ask others to help you and pray for you. Don't lash out with your tongue to inflict pain on others. Well, I'm angry. Well, Paul says in Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. That's serious stuff. Matter of fact, that whole section of Ephesians 4 is about our speech. And in verse 29 of that text, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I often, when I talk with people about that, I'll say, well, what do you think that, what's the word unwholesome mean? And they'll think about that and say, well, not good, I guess, right? Not good, right? Well, if you think about wholesome, what is it? Healthy. In the context, you know, don't let that stuff come out, but that which will build up, that which is healthy, that which will strengthen, that will encourage, that which will help, that will aid, that will benefit. James says it's not right for cursing and blessing to come from the same lips, any more than bitter and sweet water to come from the same spring. That's what he says in James 3, 9 through 11. And he also says there that no man can tame the tongue. And so we use that as an excuse sometimes. Well, you know, I can't help it. I can't tame my tongue. I mean, come on, no one can do that. The Bible says that. Read it in this context. Read the whole thing. What he's saying is without divine help, you can't. with divine help. And part of that, again, is focusing. Remembering, again, who we are in Christ. Who Christ is. What he's done for us. Being devoted to prayer. Being devoted to live our lives out in a way that brings him praise and blesses others. And being devoted to surrender our tongues, to hold up the white flag. So the only one who can tame it. Jesus said in Matthew 15 that our words come from the overflow of our hearts. Now think about that a minute. Paul had said in chapter 3, just last week we read it, that we're supposed to let the word of Christ dwell in our hearts. And that the peace of Christ is to rule in our hearts. Now, wouldn't you think that if the word of Christ is dwelling in our hearts and the peace of Christ is ruling in our hearts, it would be obvious in the way we speak to people? If, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, if what's coming out of our mouth is anything but gracious, what's that say about what's in our heart? God, cleanse our hearts. Purify our hearts. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you, with the love of you, with your grace. Because I know that's what's in there, that's what's going to determine what comes out here. And not just in my speech, yes, in my life. And in my prayer life. So I believe we have a circle here. Pray. Do. Speak. 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 And you're going to find yourself living the dream. In our text today, Paul is saying that the road to living the dream God has for us is paved with complete devotion. Devotion to prayer, devotion to godly living, devotion to gracious speech. Not only is it the way we achieve it, but it's the way we pave the road and open the door for others to live that dream too. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful for what you have done for me, what you have done for us in Jesus. And Father, I confess to you today that what we're looking at, Paul's words here today, though we understand them and though they're really clear, it's tough stuff. And it's hard to live this out. It's hard to follow through. But God, we surrender today to you, and we pray, Father, that you would capture our hearts, that you would capture our minds, and that, Father, you would set them firmly at your throne. Transform us, use us. And Father, let us see this dream come true. In Jesus' name.